So I always feel like I should wear a party hat and bring some noisemakers in worship on the first Sunday of Advent. It would be appropriate because this is the first Sunday of Advent, marking a new season in the church year and marking a whole new church year. Everything begins again. What we mark in this new year and new season is a genuine newness created by God in the world. With our liturgy and our songs, with our candles and our paraments, we wait for and anticipate the newness that God is doing in the world. When you wait for something, anticipate it, you know that you are on the brink of something utterly new, long yearned for, but beyond our capacity to enact. Advent invites us to wake up from our numbed existence, our routines and our predictability, and to consider our life afresh in light of new gifts that God is about to give. The season is all about hope, and the community of faith has been hoping for a very long time. We remember, though, that this hope, the hope of Advent, Christian hope, is not just wishful thinking. It is anticipation deeply rooted in Scripture. It is persistent and resilient. The prophet Isaiah hopes for justice, peace, and well-being, and the community knows God's intention for them for these matters and trusts God's faithful promise. And so we start this new year, this season of Advent, with an alternative vision, a vision of a healed world. Isaiah's vision of God's promised day is a vision of the nation streaming to God's mountain to learn God's ways and to walk God's path. The prophet sees the people beating their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. He sees the nations putting down their swords and their weapons of mass destruction. Contrary to the vision of the promised day that the world tries to sell us, Isaiah lifts up a vision that is true, a promise of God's presence and God's judgment and God's hope. But it's easier sometimes to believe the promises of the world, isn't it? It's hard to believe that a day will come when weapons are laid down, when hearts are transformed, and when people are drawn together. It's much easier to pin our hopes on the promise of Christmas gifts and perfect holiday feasts than swords being beaten into plowshares or weapons laid down and hearts transformed. Let's be honest, Isaiah's vision is kind of absurd. And it's okay if you find it somewhat baffling. The prophet's hope is in a vision of a city, a world, seen through the eyes of God. This prophet's vision is an active imagination that sees through the darkness and dust of this world and sees what God sees, what will be, but is not yet. That is what the promise and the promised day does for us in our lives of faith. It hopes and sees something different. And this is a promise that we can trust because it is God's promise. The promise of this day, when wars end and swords and spears are transformed into plowshares and pruning hooks, this is a day we need to keep dreaming for. We need to keep imagining that kind of world. We need to imagine what God's promised day looks like. And as we dream, we need to reach for God's promised day of peace and love. These five verses of vision and promise are the high point of this part of the prophet's story. The verses preceding these speak of God purifying the city and different visions for the futures of the righteous and the unrighteous. It is bleak. And then the verses that follow say that everyone will be brought low and that God has planned a day against the prideful and the lofty, the mountains and the hills, the ships of Tarshish and all the wonderful boats, even calling those who will hear to quit admiring the human race. It is harsh. But here, in the five verses that mark the beginning of Advent, our season of waiting and preparing, we find a bright spot in the midst of darkness. Walter Brueggemann says of this passage from Isaiah that it is a vision, an act of imagination that looks beyond present dismay through the eyes of God to see that which see what will be that is not yet. That is the function of promise and therefore of Advent in the life of faith. Under promise, in Advent, faith sees what will be that is not yet. At this moment in time, what present dismay is blurring your vision? What keeps you from being able to imagine and then reach for this promise? Perhaps it is political and national uncertainty. Or maybe it's all those small details that keep you from seeing the big picture. Perhaps debt that you keep making payments on month after month but never seems to go away blurs your vision. It could be that low attendance or empty chairs, struggles with recruiting leaders and not enough children or youth stifles the imagination and vision of the promise. The same world that stacks up all of these obstacles that block our view of God's promise also calls our hope naive. And so at some point we forget how to imagine what is promised and we pay attention to all the other stuff that is already present. But Isaiah helps us see the vision, the promised day of God that cannot wait. And once you have glimpsed the world as it might be, writes Reverend Victoria Safford, as it ought to be, as it is going to be, however that vision appears to you, it is impossible to live compliant and complacent anymore in the world as it is. If we believe this promise, it is impossible to live like we don't know. If we believe this promise, it should be impossible to just wait. We've got to do something. And that's part of Isaiah's vision too. An invitation. Isaiah extends an invitation to live toward that promised day. Come, let us go, he says. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. We may be cynical, if not hopeless, about all of this, about the prospects of this unbelievable vision coming to life, but the prophet's invitation is full of enormous and practical power. The future belongs to God, but the first step toward that future belongs to those who have glimpsed God's light and are willing to trust that enough light lies ahead. Come, let us go, the prophet says. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Whatever peaceable future there is to be, those who hear the promise are charged to walk toward the promised day and to walk in the light of God. So what does that mean? How do we look beyond dismay to live into the not yet? Well, friends, we've got to trust God. We've got to unbind the gospel, to stop living in fear. We can look beyond the dismay of the not yet by not letting fear keep us from doing what we believe God is calling us to do. It means that we may need to risk some uncertainty for the sake of the truth we find in God's word. It means boldly reaching out to the promised day and doing our part to help other people see it. Because once we see what is promised, how can we just sit back and wait? The vision that Isaiah sees is one where warring nations convert weapons into tools for flourishing. How can we live into that vision today? Isaiah says that in the promised day we will see swords beaten into plowshares. But swords are not the weapons of this day, and plowshares, while still tools for flourishing, are pretty foreign to most of us. So what can we imagine instead? Bradley fighting vehicles, transformed and taken into disaster zones to help recovery after tornadoes and hurricanes. AR-15s melted down and shaped into shovels to plant seeds in urban gardens and food deserts. Sidewinder missiles converted into vessels for clean water in Georgia and Flint, Michigan, and around the world. Predator drones made into tools to help people access technology and education. But maybe that's just too absurd. But there is a small Jesuit chapel at St. Louis University where light fixtures are made of 20th century cannon shells. Emptied of their lethal contents, they now hold light for people to pray by. God is, in fact, at work in the world already. The promised day Isaiah preached about is already and not yet. The reign of God that Jesus taught about is already present and at work among us, though not yet fulfilled. One pastor reminds us, saying, "We saw it in Jesus, who converted fear to love, lunacy to sanity, enemies to friends. He died surrounded by swords, a spear stabbed him, nails tore him. They entered infinite love, which melted them into light." Isaiah's dream lifts up a gleaming promise for us, a promise of what God will do in the days to come. Our deep longing for that dream to come true is real, and sometimes even more so at this time of the year. But there is always hope. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. God's future casts its gleam into the present. We move forward toward God's future by making our choices, personal, relational, political, and communal, in its light. Isaiah's dream does not just invite us to imagine some far-off, large-scale global transformation. It invites us to live toward that day. However hard it may be to believe that a new and longed-for reality will take hold someday, there is power in walking in God's light right now. In the meantime, one step at a time. While our reasons for feeling cynical, disappointed, or disillusioned are real, this invitation does not dismiss that. There is a promise in the dreaming and in the invitation that is greater than the harsh reality and disappointment. The past belongs to God. The present belongs to God. The future belongs to God. The future belongs to God, but the first step toward that future belongs to those who have glimpsed God's light and who are willing to trust that enough light lies ahead. So let us not wait for the promised day. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen.